I'm Sean Clancy, and I'm in the room with jockey Mike Luzzi, veteran jockey on the New York circuit, riding around a golf cart at Saratoga with a pair of crutches. A little different, I guess.
The only thing is it's not my first time. I've missed three or four meets now being injured, so it's always disappointing. You look forward to Saratoga every year. You try to build your business up all year for Saratoga. I was doing okay at Belmont and win some races, and I had a positive attitude. I felt like something good was getting ready to happen, and something bad happened. But it is what it is. That we're here, and we're plugging along.
Yeah, what's it like mentally not to be able to ride? I mean, to go from being an athlete riding and working at your craft to just being on the sidelines. Got to be tough mentally.
It is. It's a mental struggle, and I've dealt with it before in the past, so I know a little more about it. But it's sitting on a sideline like any other sport. You know, nobody wants to sit on the bench. They kind of forget about you when you're hurt. And I think I've even told you this before. No one likes to see a hurt jockey. You know, they kind of put you in the closet and come out when you're not hurt anymore. But I always keep a positive attitude. I am a race tracker. I can't do anything else. You know, and my son's a jockey, and I've been around it all my life. So I don't know anything else to do but wake up at 5 in the morning and go to a racetrack.
Yeah, that's what you're doing now. I mean, riding around the golf cart, just kind of being on the racetrack, I guess, is important for you.
Absolutely. And I have clients I want to keep in touch with, and friends and family. So, you know, not to sit at home and lay in bed is just not what I do. And I like people. I'm a people person, and good conversation. And I think it keeps you healthy, and I think it helps you heal quicker.
Yeah, no doubt. Just to be out doing your routine, seeing people is a heck of a lot better than sitting at home. I once got hurt, and I was lying on the couch, and a guy called me and said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "Well, I'm going to just lie on this couch until I feel better."
And I've had to do that in the past, where I wasn't mobile with crutches. And the, you know, my one injury I had a few years ago, I was immobile for the first 2 months, and I couldn't go to the racetrack. So, I mean, positive-wise, I'm on crutches. Hopefully not too much longer. It's been 3 weeks already. So just to get out, to be able to get out, I know is a good thing because of my past.
And what's it like watching your son Lane ride? I mean, he's doing well in Texas, and same thing, he got hurt. That had to be hard for the whole family, I guess.
I mean, I was on the couch in a cast and watching races, and I watch every race he rides. It's nerve-wracking, and I'm at times very proud at times, all the time actually. And he took a pretty good crash, and I you know, I'm a jockey father as well as a jockey, and the only thing that's worse than that is my wife. My poor wife has got to watch me and my son. So it is what it is. He took a pretty good crash. He's 24 years old, and he's already on the Equisizer, you know, healing up, so he'll be back before me, I think.
Yeah, and as a father, it's got to be difficult to watch your son. You've been through that and are going through that. It's got to be difficult. I mean, it's being a father is not easy, but then adding that element of risk and danger and things that you know, I guess it's got to add a whole nother element.
You know, and like I said, I'm his hero, you know, and everybody knows it, and I know it. But to watch him, fall, and it was a pretty bad one. And, you know, I took a fall 2 weeks before I got hurt, and it looked like the worst spill you ever seen, and nothing happened. So that little 10 minutes or whatever, 15 minutes of not knowing is tough, especially he's in the Midwest and I was in New York. And, you know, there's always that 5-10 minutes, and then his agent calls, he's up, he's walking around, and he might have broke his collarbone. And it's a relief, and at the same time, I know it's going to be disappointing for him, and because he was winning a lot of races. And, you know, it's that moment of knowing he's okay, then I know he's going to be bummed out, you know. So it's an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, when do you talk to him? I mean, you must talk to him that night, I guess, and just what's that conversation like?
After the fall, I mean, we talk all the time after every one of his racing days. I wait till the end of the day. I don't want to be that father. And I've seen other father jockey situations where they're on him every race, and I didn't want to be that guy. But after the fall, it took a while. You know, the whole routine of going to the hospital, and he actually spent 2 days in the hospital. and I'm not knocking that hospital or Texas or anything like that. You know, he came here, we got him here, and we got him an x-ray here, and he told the doctor that I all my friends are doctors and lawyers now after all these years, but my personal friend, Lane, went and seen and got the x-ray, and he says, "Doc, you told me in 5 minutes what they couldn't tell me in Texas for 2 days." So that was nerve-wracking, but he just got a little slight little crack in his collarbone. He'll, like I say, he'll be back shortly.
And Jockey, and Jockey's life, collarbone, that's, when you hear that, you're like, oh, sweet, just a collarbone.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything, but yeah, that's usually a typical one. He actually broke his other one years ago when in Florida, but this one wasn't so bad.
And you grew up a racetrack kid. I mean, growing up around Delaware Park, kind of similar to how I grew up. Did you ever want to be anything other than a jockey? Or was always going to be a jockey?
You know, I grew up in Delaware, and we probably were close in age and probably close in what was going on in the mid-'80s. And I took a brief period, you know, as I turned old enough to ride, and I was told I wasn't allowed to ride till I finished high school. I took a year away from it, and sewed up the wild oats, and I did the high school thing, but after that, the day after graduating from AI DuPont High School, I was at Delaware Park working for Ross Pierce and Buckland Farm and Jonathan Shepherd. So I there was a brief period where I fought it, but I didn't get away with it.
And no regrets. I mean, you've loved the game. You got riding in Maryland and then made it switch to New York. It's been a good ride, I'm sure.
It's been a good ride. You know, people are questioning, you know, when are you going to retire? What are you going to do? And someone asked me, is this it for you? And, you know, I feel good. I mean, age is different now. There's guys still older than me. You know, they're having some more success. And Mike Smith and, you know, what's he's done in the last 4 or 5 years is just amazing. You know, yeah. The only thing about New York, I don't think they'll allow you to do that here. I've seen guys try to just ride the stake races and not successful. It's something about New York. They want you riding every day and all day and any kind of horses. That's the perfect situation to be in. I don't think New York will allow it to do that. But I'll come back from this injury, and I'll get right back in the saddle as soon as I can. And I feel I got some more good rides in me, and there's no signs of retirement. You know, ask my wife, she'll tell you different. But I still love it, and I still want to do it, and I'm still mad I'm sitting on the bench.
That's the way you have to look at it. I mean, you're still a competitor and still want to do it. And when your son, when did you start thinking, well, he's going to be a jockey? I mean, is that early on? Is it really got that bug, or what was that like?
It was interesting because we had him in Catholic school on Long Island, and he was a hell of an athlete. He played every sport. He made the baseball team. He was 90 pounds, blah, blah, blah. And one day, riding home from school, 10th grade, he said, "Dad, you know I want to be a jockey, right?" And I says, "Oh, if you're serious, I'll help you, and I'll guide you the best I can." And the journey started that day because the next day, we took him out of Catholic high school and put him in the public school, which is right across the street from Belmont. And he set up his schedule where his first class wasn't till 10 o'clock. So the next day, we went to work with him. And he did a lot himself, I mean, which I did as well. And you can learn and be taught and be – I didn't push him. He wanted it. And he was there at 5 o'clock every day, and he still is.
And that's going to be proud, make you proud as a father and a jockey, right, that he has that work ethic and wants to do it the right way. I think that's important for you when he said he wanted to be a jockey. Okay, if you're serious, I'll help you.
Absolutely, and no 80%, you know, 120%, and that's what he gave, and he deserves everything he's done. He's got a bright future, but I'm also proud of him as a young man because, you know, everywhere I go and everybody says, "Man, you did a great job," and your wife and you guys did a great. He's a fine young man besides a good jockey, and I don't know how it happens. My wife and I, we try to mess it up, but we have two great kids, and my daughter's in college and university in Albany, and we got lucky, I think.
And watching him ride, what's that like? I mean, it's got to be as a jockey's perspective and a father's perspective, and you kind of balance the two.
It was very, very nerve-wracking at first because, you know, I didn't know if he knew enough. I didn't know if he was ready. And I know I wasn't ready when I started. And you find out sometimes the hard way. He used to open up by 10 lengths. The first 30 horses he rode, if he ever made the lead, he'd open up by 10, and I'd get crazy. So the day he broke his maiden was at Laurel. I was in New York, and I just told him his horse had a shot. I handicapped him. He said, "What do you?" He used to send me the PPs. I already had looked at him the night before. I said, "Man, the horse, he's got a chance. Let's just do me a favor. Please don't open up by 10. All right, I can't take it. All right, Dad. So just make sure you're a half a length in front of the next horse." And he was. He came out nice, but he hit the turn. And he opened up 5, 6, 7. And about the 8th pole, he was about 9 in front. And there was a horse coming. And the first time in my whole racetrack life, I was rooting for the wire to come. And I had never done it, even as myself. And he held on by it. By a nose, he stood up a little before the wire, and it was so nerve-wracking. But for him to win his first race, then 5 races later, he rode the race of his life. So it was great. But it's nerve-wracking, but at the same time, very proud.
And you grew up with Buddy Raines, a great great old friend of my family and mentor to you. Do you ever have those moments where you're kind of talking to Lane like Buddy Raines, or giving him those lessons that he taught you?
Absolutely, One of the first lessons that came from my grandfather, I gave to Lane. I asked him, I said, "Lane, what do you think's the hardest part about winning a horse race as a jockey?" And he said, "You know, saving ground and saving horse, and you know, whipping left-handed or cropping left-handed. Now I got to be careful." And I said, "Nah, Lane, none of those." And this comes from Buddy Raines. He said, "Getting a leg up." You know, getting on that right horse. And that was one of his first lessons, but that comes up a lot. And there's not a day that goes by I don't think about my grandfather, and you know, especially up here. And you know, John Rotz just passed away, old time jockey. He rode my grandfather's horse in the Preakness in 1962. So that was another reminder of my grandfather. And there, some people remember him, but there's a lot of young people at the racetrack now that kind of forgot about those guys. And it hurts your feelings a little bit, but time moves on, and that's the way it goes.
Yeah, those guys taught you. They taught you the right way. I mean, it's old school, however you want to call it, right? I mean, it's just the old school, old, hardworking, and be a horseman and apply your trade the right way.
It really was. I think I timed it just right. I mean, I got a little taste of the old timers. I rode for Alan Jurgens and all these New York trainers, even the Maryland trainers. You know, Eddie Gaudette, everybody sees Gabby on TV and Lacey training now. I was there working for Eddie. Linda Gaudette was pregnant with Lacey. We were still galloping horses. She was, you know, they were real race trackers. You know, she was pregnant, but we had a set to get out. So it's interesting. The new generation is fun to watch, and like I said, you know, I know Lacey and Gabby appreciate what their father did, and they probably think of him every day, just like I think about my grandfather. So there are some families still in the game, but there's new people that don't know Eddie Gaudette or Buddy Raines, and it hurts your feelings, and you don't want to push it on them. You don't want to be that old guy thinking about the good old days all the time, because they're living their good old days, so you don't want to interrupt that, so.
Yeah, how's that song go? "These are the good old days."
That's when you're living them. So I don't want to push the old timers on the younger generation. So it is what it is. They're living their good old days.
That's Mike Luzzi coming back as veteran jockey here with a broken leg, but he'll be back soon. We're at Railside here at Saratoga, and it's nice to see you. And we look forward and rooting for you to come back.
Pleasure. And whoever's listening to this, I hope somebody's going to listen to this. Keep it up, man. Horse racing is the greatest game played outside.
That's Mike Luzzi.